Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for all to see. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for you and me. For the children to see.
Well, good evening. It is Thursday again in the Old Paths Broadcast Network here. We are back again. I'm hearing an echo here. I don't know where that's coming from, but I hope it goes out here and stops doing that. I hope you can hear me okay anyway, but we'll be working on it either way. But let's talk about some things here that's going on in this world that we live in today. Just amazing things that are happening in our country today, and, you know, unbelievable. People are sleeping, and we talk about, we've got a segment on here called Wake Up, and Lonnie, you remember that Wake Up, don't you?
Wake Up!
I love that. Anyway, double dose. All right. Anyway, you know, it's time for people in America to wake up. It's time for God's people to wake up and to really understand what's going on in this nation. And that I want you to understand what's going on behind the scenes. It's always, there's a spirit that is always at work. I just preached a message, and that message was on the spirit of the Antichrist. I had a brother that we were talking about some things and some afflictions, and Brother Randy and him and I were talking about some things, and he actually shared with me some things about the Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist, and the Lord just spoke to my heart right there. And after the Lord had spoke to me, I just immediately started, you know, thinking about that and looking in the scriptures, saying, boy, what is the Antichrist up to? You know, what is that spirit of Antichrist, I mean, that should come, that's already in the world, that's going to be working and doing the work of the Antichrist before he even gets here on the scene? And John talked about that. Well, listen, you have to understand something. The things that are going on in our world today, they are led by Antichrist. These evil things that are being going on, they're led by the spirit of the devil. The devil's the god of this world. We have to understand there's a spirit always behind every conspiracy, behind everything that goes on. We've got to understand that. And some people just look for the main characters that they see. Well, those people are nothing compared to what's being the spirit that's pushing them, the spirit that's behind them, that's prompting them to do what they do. They don't even understand. People don't even understand how these folks are being led by the spirit of Antichrist. They don't get it at all. They don't get that there's a spiritual. When you talk to most conservatives today, and you know, when you talk to them, what they basically say is, "Well, you know, the right's good, the left's bad. Republicans are good, Democrats are bad, and you know, everything like that." And I happen to say, no, I think they're all on the same team. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, then you have the Spirit of Antichrist in you. If you're not born again by the Spirit of God, then you have the Spirit of disobedience in you. The Spirit that is in the children of disobedience. We've got to understand that. The only people we can trust, you know, and should put our trust in are those that put their faith and trust and walk with Jesus Christ, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Ultimately, it's Christ that we trust. Ultimately, it's God and His Word that we trust. But we have a brother and we have brothers and sisters in Christ that are going the same way. We need to understand that as these end times, as things get worse and worse on this earth, I mean, it's going to be, and we need to be prepared for that. We need to understand the hardships that are going to come, you know, our way, as we look at some of the things that are going on in our world. Obviously, Obamacare is a mess, and And as you look at that, I mean, it's just going to continue to spiral down. It's the plan, I believe. I think it's the plan. So, you know, they want a one-payer system. They don't want to have anything else. They just want to be in charge of everything, and they'll mess that up like they did Social Security. But I don't think they're as incompetent as they are. It's planned what they do, and people don't like to hear things like that today. But because they see some virtue in America like that, but I don't. I don't see a virtue in a nation that allows millions and millions of babies to be slaughtered every year. You know, mainstream Christianity is okay with the wars that are going on. All of those things, that's not a good nation. I'm sorry, folks, it's not. It's not good at all. There's some good people in this country, but our nation is, we have, you know, we're in trouble. We're guilty. I preached a sermon on that called America's Curse for Shedding the Innocent Blood, and we are cursed for that. And, you know, this nation's in trouble. It's going to go on the heap of all, you know, on the dunghill of all other nations eventually that forget God, and all the nations that forget God. The nations shall be turned into hell, the Bible talks about. So anyway, but you have this situation with Obamacare, and you have these other things that are going on right now. As you look at that, understand that's all a plan. You know, Congress is going to take Obama to court. They're going to try to fight some things. ISA, or whatever his name is, he accuses Sebulis of criminal obstruction. You know, and I believe it. I believe they are criminally negligent, this nation is. But you know what's interesting to me? I want you to wake up, because as you see some pictures, I think his brother Tino had these pictures on his Facebook page too, and a few others did. But some pictures of this nation, or I mean of the leaders of this nation going to, you know, they were going to Mandela's funeral. And, you know, I thought it was interesting. You see George Bush and Mandela, no, not him, but George Bush and Barack Obama in an airplane together. You know, these guys are mortal enemies that caused the destruction, you know, of, Bush, it's all his fault, everything, you know, and I can still blame him for everything Obama says. And, you know, they're supposed to be these mortal enemies. Then you see them patting each other on the back, and you know, Bush won't say anything against Obama, you know, all those, but Obama has no problem with saying anything against Bush. Here's the reason why. You may think, well, that's because Bush is a good guy. No, it's a good cop, bad cop type thing is what it really is. As long as Bush shuts up and doesn't say anything, then he can be the one that's blamed while Obama gets away with everything he wants to do. That's a game. That's the game they play. That's how it works. They're all in a fraternity. They're all in a club. And they're all working against, most of these people are high-level Illuminati people, and that's what they are. That's what they do. They don't care anything about the Bible. They don't care anything about what's right. They don't care about the truth any longer. None of them do. I mean, there's people that believe that Barack Obama is a Christian. And most of those people that believe it don't believe in repentance. Uh-oh, there's a shock for you. Those people that don't preach and believe repentance actually believe. Why? Because Obama never repented. That's why. Oh, that'll hurt somebody. But it's the truth, and he never did. And there's a whole lot of other people out there just like him that have never repented and been born again, never seen their sorry condition before the Lord, never turned from it and trusted Christ and cling to him alone for salvation. That's not half of these people. They don't care about anything but themselves and their upward mobility. You need to wake up and understand these politicians are all on the same side. Stop giving them money. Stop giving them money, because once you give them money, you know what happens? They continue the charade. They continue to go on with their charade. They continue to do what they're going to do. And it's sad, but that's what they're doing. We need to understand that. We need to be mindful of that. And stop giving these people our money. Because it's wrong, I believe, to give them money. You know, I've said this before, but I'll say it again. We've had a Democratic Congress or a Republican Congress. You know, the Senate, the presidency, and none of them did anything about as pro-life as they are. None of them did anything. And we also had Republicans in the Supreme Court as well. So I mean, and nobody did anything. In fact, this last Supreme Court justice, he was supposed to be the guy that was supposed to be a great guy that Bush appointed. He ended up on Obamacare and calling it a tax By the way, taxes don't generate in the Senate. They generate in the House. I know this is a political portion of the show, but I want you to understand. I want you to wake up and understand that we just need to be about our Father's business, because that doesn't mean we don't stay informed and understand what's going on, and we don't – if there is somebody that actually – you know, has a backbone and a spine in America. I know that's unheard of. Most men that have a backbone and a spine, they're not supposed to be in politics. The world doesn't like a man with a spine. The man that'll stand up and be a man that'll lead his home, take the headship over his home, lead his wife and children. That's hated today. But these little pencil neck wimps that are out there today, effeminate men that are out there today, you know, that won't stand up and say the truth. Those kind of men, they're welcomed by the world, and they're welcomed in politics. Why? Well, because they don't like real men. Why do you think the politics are full of women? Think about it. Why do you think they are, and why do you think emotion comes in completely through that? You know how mad that makes people when you say that? You know how absolutely mad that makes them? It makes them extremely angry. Why? Well, it's the truth. That's why it makes you mad, because you know what? God never intended it to be that way. Our nation wasn't set up that way either. But you know what? When women got into politics, well, you know, people get their feelings hurt now, so that's all that matters. Feelings are what matter. We need to wake up and understand that this society is ran by a bunch of feminists and effeminate men. And that's really what's going on, sadly, in our country. And that's, if you see it, feminism, or you can call it that Jezebel spirit, whichever you want to call it, that Jezebel spirit of feminism, you know what it does? It impacts every aspect of America today. Even our families, our homes, our lives, politics, whatever the case may be. It affects everything. It influences it all. It has a dire, an effect on it, extreme effect on it. And it's in a bad way. It's a bad effect. You know, Wally just shared a link on his Facebook page about somebody that was in charge of a top official was killed. That was in charge of the mysterious Obama birth certificate situation. Go check that out. It might post. Brother Lonnie can probably find that and post that on our Faith Baptist Facebook page there, so you can see that. But amazing, isn't it? It seems like, you know, anytime these scandals come up, you know, I think it's funny when you go back into, you look at them, somebody always has to die to cover something up, it seems like. And, you know, the death has looked like an accident. Many people believe Bhutto over there was in Pakistan, that area was killed because of that, because she knew the truth that, you know, the terrorists aren't the ones doing all this stuff. It's rich people that have a whole lot of money that are funding all this stuff around the world that are doing it. What they do to her, they offed her real quick. You know, SEAL Team 6, all those other things, you know. So understand, don't put your trust and faith into politicians. Keep your trust and faith and your eyes on Jesus Christ. If you want to do something, hey, I believe in getting the truth out there and telling people what's going on in our government and in our world and sharing that. I believe in that. I'm not backing off of that. But what I'm saying is, you want to really know the truth, then you talk about what we're going to do tonight. If you want to impact this nation greatly, do what we're going to talk about tonight. That's open air evangelism and street preaching. You know, it's called street preaching, open air evangelism. It's all evangelism. It's real evangelism is what it is, to be honest with you. That's exactly what it is. But you know, I really don't care a whole lot tonight about politics. I really want to talk about this. I'm really fired up to talk about public preaching. You know, I really am, and because public preaching is so absolutely important. You know, the link is up there now, by the way. Brother Lonnie has a link up there. So that's for that article. You can take a look at that when you want to, when you get a chance to. But anyway, you know, street preaching or public preaching is so absolutely important, and I want to lay a scriptural basis down first, give you some examples, and then I want to talk about just some men in the past, some great preachers in the past. Man, they preached, and they preached on the streets. They believed in preaching on the streets, and, you know, they weren't worried about looking funny or anything like that. They weren't worried about any of those things. You know, there's a lot of great men of God out there now that are preaching on the streets that love the Lord. They love the truth. They love the gospel. And I think you got to be. I think you got to make sure you're preaching out there. We're not protesters. We're preachers. Now we stand for what's right, and we preach against sin, and we got to do that. That's very important. You don't ever. I don't believe in going lax on sin. I'm not a 1-2-3 pray after me guy. I don't believe in soft selling sin. We need to be out there preaching against the wickedness of this world, and then we need to preach the law of schoolmaster to bring men to Christ and bring them under that curse of the law so they can see that they're lost and that they need the Savior, and then we preach the gospel to them as well. And we plant many seeds and try to give the truth out there to people, and who knows who's going to answer that. We don't know. We never know what we do, the magnitude of what we've done. We have no idea on this side what we've done, and we need to remember that. And today is such a results-oriented type of a the ministry has been turned into really something as a business that has to have these profit and loss statements and has to prove your worth or whatever. And that's not what it's about. You know, that's not what the ministry is about. That's not what giving your life for the gospel is about, giving your life for the Lord Jesus Christ to be used of him. That's not what it's about. It's not about a bunch of corporate numbers and games and big buildings. I like one of my evangelist friends says, the fundamentalist movement today is largely about bodies, bucks, and buildings. And that's a true statement. That is what it's about. While I'm on this subject, before we really get into street preaching and evangelism, and there's going to be some men, I believe, that are going to call in. I've got one online right now, I think, but there's going to be some other men that are going to call in here tonight, and I'll look forward to hearing from them and them sharing some of their testimonies of out there preaching, and then I'm going to share some testimonies of some preachers in the past, some men of God that you would probably not think would be street preachers. They probably, they'd be against that, or they would think, man, you can't do that, or what are you guys doing? There's a popular popular preacher in Arizona he got shocked at the border. He got tased at the border. And he's got videos out there on YouTube saying that, well, Jesus wasn't a street preacher. Jesus wasn't a preacher. He didn't cry out in the streets. He takes some verse and he tries to take it out of context and say he doesn't cry out in the street. I just want to help somebody out here, though, because this is real easy, but even for very intelligent people that have doctorates or that have college educations and everything else, they might miss this. We see in the Bible, we see the Sermon on the Mount. That wasn't done in a building. Just so you know, that wasn't done in a building. That was done in the open air. There's also the sermon in the plain. If you read the scriptures, you can tell where he was at. He was in the plain, and there was a sermon that was done there. So we're going to talk about that tonight a little bit and kind of share some things with you on that that I think will help enlighten you and give you some understanding from the scriptures as well as, from history to really tie all this in and everything else. Yeah, guys, stay online here. You that have called in, stay online. I'm going to click you guys over in a little while here. I want to hear from everybody tonight that I can and really talk about this thing. That's why I'm going to devote most of the two-hour show here just to that. And another show, we'll probably do another one on this because I think it's so vitally important. I want to wake pastors up. Have the Lord wake them up, but use our words to wake them up to see that they are in sin if they don't get out there and do what God's called them to do. God has called them to lead their men out into the fields and into the streets and to proclaim the name of Christ in the streets. And when we don't do that, we're in trouble. When we don't do that, we wonder why our nation's going to hell. It's because many of God's people are hiding in four walls and they won't come out. The queers are coming out of the closet, and the preachers are in the closet. They're hiding in their 4501c3 walls. And, God help us. We can't do that. We've got to be out there. We've got to be out there in the highways and the byways. We've got to be out there preaching the word of God, boldly proclaiming the name of Christ Jesus out there. Why? Because we're a witness against these principalities, these powers, this spiritual wickedness in high places, the rulers of the darkness of this world. We're witnesses against them, and we're witnesses for Christ, and we're standing out in the open air. And I don't care if anybody's listening. I don't care if there's one person that walks by and that's it. It doesn't matter. We are doing what God has called us to do. Go ye into all the world. It doesn't say go ye into the meeting house and preach the gospel to every creature. It says go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. We're to get out there and we're to preach the gospel in the open air. And listen, I've got a book that's coming out, a booklet coming out pretty soon. And, you know, it's going to deal with a few of these things, but it's going to deal with what's called Simply Church is what the booklet is called. And it's a simple way to have church. Amen. It's a simple way to be the church and to be a local assembly. And you don't need buildings. You don't need a lot of money. You don't need all those other fancy things. You don't need all those things. Just keep it simple. Anyway, that's another discussion for another day, but I thought I'd mention that. We're working on that booklet right now, and I want to get that out there to as many folks as we can. And return people to the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's what we want to do. If you'll notice in the Bible, if you'll notice John, I've heard, well, no, street preaching's not in the Bible, you hear some of these people say. Well, you know, the Bible says that about John the Baptist. It says, as it's written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. You know, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Hey, wait a minute. You mean John wasn't preaching in four walls in the church house? No, he wasn't preaching in the temple either. He was standing out, and he was preaching in the open air. He was preaching. I like this because he's preaching the message of repentance. You know, whatever dispensation, whatever you believe about that, God has commanded all men everywhere to repent in every dispensation and every time. No matter what you want to call it, in the Old Testament, Jonah was a preacher of repentance, a preacher of righteousness. How about Noah? Boy, I'll tell you what, that Noah preached out in the open air, and only 8 people listened to him. That's it. 7 people, including himself. Listen, that was it. Nobody else. Everybody else ignored the message. But he was still a preacher of righteousness, wasn't he? So we see here in Matthew chapter 3, verse number 3, John the Baptist, he went out there. And boy, I'll tell you what, the religious folks were out there when John was out there too. Isn't that something? There were some religious folks out there. Hey, how many times you went, if you never went street preaching before or open-air evangelism, the first people you run into that don't like what you're doing are the religious people. People that don't like what you're doing. They don't like you preaching in the open air. They don't like you calling men to repentance. They don't like that. So what happened to John? It says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. You know, I liken that to the picture of a lot of second generation kids that grow up in Christian homes. Second generation, well, my dad's a Christian, so I'm a Christian. We go to church, so I'm a Christian. Son, you better repent or you're going to split hell wide open. You're only a Christian by faith in Jesus Christ, by turning to him and believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I indeed baptize you with water, he talks about. John talks about the baptism that he was sent to baptize with and the work that he was sent to. But if you notice here, he went out and he preached. And he preached in the open air. You know, there's a lot of men that did that, actually. Most of the men in the Bible, most of the sermons, if you'll do a study of most of the sermons in the Bible, most of them you'll see were out in the open air. They cried at the gates. Jeremiah preached, or Jonah preached on the streets of Nineveh. Hey, that Jonah, the greatest revival that ever took place in the history, probably of the world, right there. What happened? What happened? Jonah preached on the streets. He walked through the streets and he said, repent. You got to repent. God's judgment is coming. the prophets of old, they were hated. John the Baptist was hated. Jesus' disciples preached on the streets in many villages. Peter preached in the open air at Solomon's porch there. Philip preached the gospel to big crowds. Paul preached the gospel to the entire city of Antioch. Man, he was heckled and everything, man. They didn't like that guy at all. Think about it. Paul preached wherever he could, man. They brought him into court, and he started preaching Christ. Amen. Ezra called the people of Israel to repentance. They sat right there in the open, right there. All through the Bible, we see that need for open-air preaching, that command. I like what Charles Spurgeon said. He said it's the very backbone of the movement to win the non-church-going element. The more of it, the more of it, the better, he said. The more of it, the better. The whole world around. What was he talking about? Open-air preaching, he said, the more, the better. Get out there and do it. I like another quote he said. Another thing he said, no sort of defense is needed for preaching out of doors. But it would need very potent arguments to prove that a man had done his duty who has never preached beyond the walls of his meeting house. A defense is required for services within buildings than for worship outside of them. He's saying, get out there and preach. Get out there and preach. I like what George Whitefield said. He said, finding the pulpits are denied me and the poor colliers are ready to perish for lack of knowledge, I went to them and preached on a mount to upward of 200. Blessed be God that the ice is now broken and I have now taken the field. I thought it might be doing the service of my Creator, who had a mountain for his pulpit and the heavens of his for his sounding board, and who, when the gospel was refused by the Jews, sent his servants into the highways and hedges. J.C. Ryle talked about Wycliffe. He said that they sowed the seeds of thought among the people which were never entirely forgotten. And I believe they paved the way for the Reformation. Talking about these old, poor preachers that went out there and preached. You know, it's interesting. We're going to come up on a break here pretty soon, but it's interesting. You know, and when I come back from the break, I'm going to have Eric come on. I think Eric's still with us there. And hopefully Sean can call back in, too, as well. He's probably busy. He's got a lot going on. But hopefully he can call back in, too. Brother Tino is going to call in tonight. And we're going to talk to him about a few of these things, too, as well, on evangelism, amen, and open-air preaching and everything like that. I like another quote that Spurgeon said here. I fear that in some of our less enlightened country churches, there are conservative individuals who almost believe that to preach anywhere except in the chapel would be a shocking innovation, a sure token of heretical tendencies, and a mark of zeal without knowledge. Any young brother who studies his comfort among them must not suggest anything so irregular as a sermon outside the walls of their Zion. In the older times, we are told, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, in the opening of the gates. But the wise men of the orthodoxy would have wisdom gagged, except beneath the roof of a licensed building. These men believe in a New Testament which says, go out into the highways and hedges that compel them to come in. And yet they dislike a literal obedience to that command. Boy, isn't that the truth, friend? Hey, we got a song coming up here, the original Superman by the Marksman Quartet. And we're going to play that song for you, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
If I could take a bullet, I still couldn't take the pain. No, but it's not the place for Christian to take matters in his own hand. So I just turn it over, report it to the original Superman. He can move a mountain, has power over night and day. And neither depth nor height nor kryptonite can steal his power away. He don't hide in a phone booth. never had a change in plans.
Yesterday, today, forever, the original Superman.
He didn't come from another planet, though he owns the whole universe. No, he just left his throne in heaven and descended down to earth. Where they plot, it was just a killing. They drove nails in his feet and his hands. And he conquered sin and he lives again, the original Superman.
He can move a mountain, has power over night and day. And neither death nor height nor kryptonite can steal his power away.
He don't hide in a phone booth, never had a change in plans.
Yesterday, today, forever, the original Superman.
No, he just left his throne in heaven and descended down to earth. Where they fought and watched us to kill him, drove nails in his feet and his hands. And he conquered sin and he lived again, the original Superman.
He can move a mountain, has power over night and day. And neither death nor height nor kryptonite can steal his power away.
He don't hide in a phone booth, never had a change in plan.
Yesterday, today, forever, the original Superman. Yesterday, today, forever, the original Superman.
All right. We're back on the Old Paths broadcast, and we're talking about open-air evangelism or street preaching, open-air preaching, public preaching, whatever you want to call it, just getting out there. Really, what it's called is preaching the gospel and getting out there and obeying the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ and trying to reach a lost and dying world with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and call men to repentance in the open air. Brother George, are you there? We got Brother George on yet?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
All right, Brother George, I hear you now. Listen, why don't you tell us, before you get, you have some quotes you want to talk about repentance. Why don't you, before we forget, why don't you tell us what you're doing this weekend and let people know about what the Lord is going to do with some of the men there this weekend.
Yeah, how you doing, brother? Yeah, we are going down to Cleveland. There's a Cleveland public square. Well, we will be preaching. I guess they opened it up for the quote-unquote holiday season. And so we're going to go down there and help some two other brothers, which are really a brother in the Lord, but they're a brother of one of our men at Gateway, John Alexander. So we're going to go help his brother go down there and start them in public open-air ministry, evangelism, as it is biblically called. And we're hoping that they will take the call. They have it upon their hearts to want to do that. Praise the Lord for that. And the first question I asked John from it's amazing. You know, how come their pastor didn't want to go? Well, you know, his brother went out there trying to ask people to come with him, and he got at least one other brother to come out to go with him to preach. But right now the so-called the one that should be making full proof of the ministry decided at this time not to go.
Well, you know, brother, let me tell you, it's interesting because one of my men moved from Texas. One of our guys moved from Texas, and a member of Old Paths Baptist Church now here, and they were living in Texas, and because of a few situations, 501c3, and you know, just a few
sure.
others, he moved here to our church. The Lord led him here and his family here, and. And, you know, he said, you know, you're the first pastor I've ever had that went out preaching with me. He would
wow.
have to go by himself. No, nobody would go with him. None of his pastors would go out in the open air. And I was reading a quote today by Gerald Sutek. And Gerald said that he said that we have enough professional pastors. If you'll go preach for money, but you won't go preach in the open air, there's something wrong with you. You're a professional then.
Well, that's good, brother. That's the problem, as we talked about last week. One of the biggest problems is ridicule. The so-called men of God have been taught, and you brought it up again. It's the infeminization of a nation. It's the Joyce Myers of the typical preacher of today, whether he's Baptist or not.
That's right.
So that's really the problem. It's the women that have taken over the church. Okay. And they have not learned, according to the obedience of 1 Peter chapter 3, you know, how to be silent, how to be, these qualities of a woman that
should be spirit. Yep.
Yeah, that's right. You know, a meek and quiet spirit and things like that, and so therefore they haven't learned that, and so now that it's come into the church, and the men of God will not be men of God. And
disagree with you. I don't disagree with you, brother. I think you're right on with that. You know, speaking of being laughed at or scorned or anything like that, Charles Spurgeon has this quote here that I thought was interesting. He said, "To be laughed at is no great hardship to me. I can delight in scoffs and jeers. Caricatures, lampoons, and slanders are my glory. But that you should turn from your own mercy, this is my sorrow. Spit on me, but oh, repent. Laugh at me, oh, but believe in my master. Make my body as dirt of the streets, but damn not your own souls."
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Pretty
powerful. See these old time, even non-Baptist preachers like Oswald Smith. You know, he was from Canada. He was an early century preacher, and he said this. I'll just quote a small quote.
Ahead.
If we are to get the Holy Spirit fruit, God must prepare the ground. The Holy Spirit must convict of sin before men can truly believe. It is right to tell people to believe when God has done his work in their hearts, but first they must feel their need. I don't agree with the word I just quoted. I don't care with the word feel, but it's really a broken and contrite spirit, just broken of their sin. That's
well,
when
they
come to Jesus.
Yeah, and I agree 100%. You've got to break up that fallow ground. It's the problem is there's no preparatory work done today. Most of these is taught in a soul winning course. When I came to Gateway, I said, you know, I've never went street preaching before, and I visited Gateway. You know, we didn't sit and have a class on, well, this is what you do, this is your objections, this is what we have a street preacher's manual that helped that he gave, and that was just for like dealing with police and all that kind of stuff, you know, those kind of things. But you know, what we did was we went out and we preached the gospel. That's what we did. He just threw me up there and said, "Hey, go preach. Go preach." And I got up there and I preached, and it's like, hey, there you go. You preach. That's what you do. And you just do what God's called you to do. And you know what? He'll be there for you.
Amen. He sure will, brother. Like the Old Testament, the Lord raised up prophets when the men of God began to fail him. The pastors, as you know, Jeremiah, you know,
yep.
they're Jeremiah is nothing positive except one positive thing. And there's eight or six negative things about pastors. It's the only thing about pastors are not well thought of in the Bible. So that's because they have not done the work of the ministry, see? And it's kind of funny today. If you look at the ministry today, all about the pastors. Well, guess what? They fail God. They have completely failed God as a total Christian, so-called Christian ministry to not only to the world, number one, but to the people in the church. And not making full proof, and not making evangelists. So you ask any Baptist, just ask a Baptist, independent Bible Baptist people, who are your evangelists in the church, and ask them what they do. If they even can give you and point to one, then ask them what they do, and I guarantee you, then none of them will give you a Bible answer.
Right. And we know that evangelists went out everywhere preaching.
That's correct.
You know, and that's what they did, and that's really what an evangelist does. Now, an evangelist can edify as well. I mean, there's nothing wrong with edifying.
He can do that. That's right. That's right. Barnabas did that.
But, you know, the problem is that the full proof of thy ministry is not being done. That's the full proof. It's not there. It's not lived out. It's not done. And you know, it's amazing to me, but you know, that going back to that quote from Sutek, from Brother Sutek, what he said about professionalism, I think that's really one of the problems here. They don't want to be seen as, most of these pastors are dignified, you know, men. I mean, they don't want to be seen as men that look funny or kooky or weird or anything like that. They don't want to be seen like that. They don't want to, these pastors don't, and listen, part of that, there is a part of that that makes sense from the standpoint of some people do some things that they shouldn't do when they're evangelizing that I believe out there, and they get off, my opinion. And if you're a man that has never seen evangelism before done biblically on the streets, and you just see people screaming or hollering, but not really screaming the gospel, but just calling people names and not preaching the law, not preaching that, then you'll get a, you know, we're not Westboro, okay? We don't, that's, but in the mind of most pastors out there, that's what street preaching is Westboro.
Yeah, agreed. Oh, but that's their ignorance. Don't be ignorant of that, because you know, once you stand up for something, as the older I've gotten, brother, and the more I read my Bible, once you say something, okay, either against, especially against, and I've even said this at work. If you got something negative to say, or you got something against the preacher, you got something against this person, then you better have an answer to your objection. Don't just object.
Amen.
Okay, you can object all day long, but you better have an answer to, you know, as how to solve the problem. And if you have the same thing when it comes to anything biblical, if you've got something that you're against, then you better have a answer for. You know, give us the corrective action, or give us the corrective answer if there's something that is against
them. That's what I did when I first, you know, I had some disagreements and some things. I don't want to talk about what I consider the wrong way to do things like that. I don't want to dwell on that, because I'm just trying to be an encouragement here on some things here. But the one thing that when I saw those bad examples that I thought were bad examples of what was done out there, you know, I started watching some videos and got to know Brother Eric Frank and Brother Ickes and a few others there at Gateway, and watched some videos and seen some men just going out and preaching, and they're preaching. They handled themselves like biblical evangelists. You know, they shared the Bible. If they were, you know, if there's somebody that walks up to you on the side, I've seen some men that when somebody walks up and tries to have a conversation with you, well, that some of those men are still like yelling at them. You know what I mean? And saying things.
Yep.
So but I saw in the videos where you guys were evangelizing that you weren't doing that. You had a Bible in open hand, and you're trying to help those people, give them an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That's one of the differences that I saw.
Well, brother, the only thing we can do is teach others. You know, just like first, you know, like 2 Timothy 2 says, you know, teach others, other men, that they also may teach other faithful men, okay? And so that's what we need. We just need more men of faith. Like you said, any people tend to take the light of the gospel, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, in a negative light when it comes to open-air ministry. But yet open-air ministry has with it troubles. That's why Paul says the thing is just the tumults and troubles. And he mentioned that even in the book of Acts there, when he came even before before Felix, and he said that, you know, and the Jews came upon him, and he said this in verse 18 of Acts 24. He said, "Whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult." So what Paul was trying to say to Felix, said, look, the Jews came here, and when I came into the temple, these Jews that came all the way from Asia, okay, those are the ones that wanted to bring me trouble. When they came, they didn't find me with a bunch of people around me. Neither did they find me in tumults. Because when Paul, see what he's saying? Jews saw him, there was trouble all the time. Whether the Jews started because of Paul's preaching, that's what the trouble was. But Paul's was turning, the gospel was turning hearts all over the world, and it caused trouble and tumults. And that's when you get to see God working. Both of them have to appear.
You know another thing, brother, that I've noticed that Paul said You know, he said, be not ashamed of my chains or my bonds. You know, don't be ashamed of my bonds. And that's the same thing with street preachers and evangelists that go to jail. Everybody, a lot of these professional pastors think that, oh, they're just troublemakers, they did something wrong. Man, I got quotes from Spurgeon talking about men that preached on the streets for 45 years in London, and they had hassles from the police, they had hassles from the Unitarians, they had hassles from everybody. They got hecklers, and the police gave them a hard time. That's not new. We see that in the New Testament. What's wrong with people today that we, for some reason, think that if somebody's out there preaching in the open air that they're not going to have a problem? You know why? It's because when they go door to door, they don't ever have any of those problems. There's something about that open air preaching, brother, that brings the devils out.
Well, it does, and you know that. Matter of fact, it happened to us in Ann Arbor 2 weeks ago, and I was the one just standing across the street, just handing out tracts. That's all I was doing, just handing out. I was standing up against the building, handing out tracts, and five kids came by. And they were 16 and below, and if you could have just heard the filth coming out of their mouth towards me.
Yeah, they can't help
okay?
it.
Okay, and I wasn't even preaching, and the preacher was across the street, and they got mad at me. And, I mean, they got, like, totally filthy. And it goes to show you that's what the gospel does. That's the power of God, and that's what causes Satan to rise up. Okay, in especially amongst our generation, the generation of today. And so just like when Jesus, just before the first advent, it's going to happen just before Jesus comes and raptures the church, appear more and more and more and more. And he's appearing, as you know, brother, quite a lot these days in terms of when you go out in the open air. It's amazing the kind of people that you see out there. You can't
put
a finger on them. They're just from, like, they're from a different world. And they're full of the devil, some of them. That's all there is to it. There's some just normal people there, but there are some. They'll act in a way that you just cannot believe, and you know that it's just devilish, and you know it's because you're preaching there.
The first time we went out here after we came back from Gateway, the first time we preached, we had a 60-year-old sodomite skipping down the road like a 5-year-old girl. And he was skipping up and down the road. Like, I'm not kidding you. I couldn't believe it. It was the strangest looking thing in the world, but he was skipping up and down the road. We had a guy I've got videos on our YouTube page. Brother Lonnie, link to our YouTube page, if you would, please. My YouTube page there, and link to that and put it on the Faith Baptist Facebook page there and show some folks some of those street preaching videos are all the way, they're right in the middle there. But anyway, there was a guy standing on his head. Brother Russ had a guy take a football and try to kick him in the face with it while he was standing up there. I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff is going on, you know, just right there. And why? Because they can't help it. The devils come out of them. They just can't control themselves when the preaching of that open air takes place. But you've got people, that, Brother George, that do not want to bear the reproach of their Lord outside of the camp.
That's correct. And that's why it says they that live godly shall suffer persecution. So you better be very careful who you call godly.
Amen.
If a man has not suffered persecution, you ought not to call him godly. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
I mean, godly. There's godly character, but behind the godly character of a man is that godly character will cause to arise in a world that's apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the whole context of that is. They that live godly shall suffer persecution.
Amen.
So there you go. What do you do with that? And so you see all these preachers and, this was a godly man. Oh, how do you know it was a godly? Did he suffer persecution in his godliness?
Brother
did he suffer persecution?
You know what happened?
Godly.
You know what happened after I got back from Gateway, and Brother Russ and I got back here, and we got home and everything, and we went out street preaching. The Book of Acts and a lot of the other books in the New Testament, man, I'll tell you what, they started to make more sense to me than ever. They came alive for me more than ever. Now I know the Word of God is alive, amen. But I mean, my understanding was open to those things, and I said, "Man, I get it now. These guys are out there preaching, and this is what happens when they preach. This is what goes on when they do that. And you know what? When we go out here, this is what happens too. Man, I've missed this for 10 years."
Yeah, so did I, brother. So don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. I didn't start open air preaching until I was 40. So I understand all that. Understand it because I was blinded going to the same going to churches that I went to. So Baptist churches. So don't feel bad about it. It's just I'm glad God filled your heart with the Holy Ghost and power now that you're just going forward. And you're just on fire for the things of God. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, brother. I'm going to step away, and I'm going to let you talk to either Brother Eric or someone else, okay? Get some other input.
I want to get Brother Eric in there. Brother Eric, are you there? Brother Eric?
Hello? Yep.
Are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, good. I've got you on now, and we're talking about street preaching or evangelism. And Brother Eric, how long have you been preaching on the streets?
I'm about 5 years now after I finally submitted to the call, because I had other brothers exhorting me to get out there in the streets, but the simple fact came down to is because I didn't have the men in my life that said they were teachers and pastors, as God gave the gifts, but I was never really taught any sound doctrine, so I was intimidated, in effect, to go out there because, I didn't have the power of the Holy Ghost, and His words, which are spirit and in truth in me. I knew I was saved, but I didn't have the power. And so after going through the Institute and being taught sound doctrine from the pastors and teachers, at the church that I attend, you go out there and just even like yourself, you knew you had that Bible in there, and when you came down and visited us the past, back in March, you were the last one to do it, and I told you you had to get up there because once you get up there and you start preaching and you lift up your voice as a trumpet, there's something that's so liberating in doing and fulfilling, there in 2 Timothy when it talks about, making foolproof your ministry. So the first time I did that, I was afraid to do that, to get up there and cry aloud. But the more I got taught, and the more you do it, you start feeling comfortable because it's the Holy Ghost speaking through you. It's not yourself. Sure, you can get up there and get in the flesh, but when you allow God to work through you and you get up there, the Bible comes alive, like you said. It's not just abstract theory where you're reading about Paul being stoned or, having Elymas, the sorcerer, come up or people throwing things at you. It becomes reality to you, and it's not just, you're reading nice little story and fables, inside the church four walls. So it's about 5 years, and probably about 7 years I would go out and just pass out tracts, but I'd stay in the as far away as I could from these crazy guys that were causing trouble and turning the world upside down. So.
Yes, amen, brother. That's exactly right, and that's what the gospel does in the open air. You see all kinds of crazy things out there. I like what Spurgeon said about this. I think this is the heart of the problem in America as well. He says here, it would be very easy to prove that revivals of religion have usually been accompanied, if not caused, by a considerable amount of preaching out of doors or in unusual places.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah, that's for sure. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
No, yeah. I mean, you've always, there's people on Facebook. One guy. This guy Tony in particular. He's an old associate of mine. I can't really call him too much of a friend. I've known him for about 2 decades, but he's a prime example of the 1-2-3 pray after me. Bust him in. Wickedness, because the guy thinks he's saved, but he's no more saved than a dead horse, just by his
Amen.
Own words. But the problem is, I mean, you've dealt with him, But the problem is pragmatic. Well, what works? Well, he thinks what works. You know, when people ask, well, when you went out there, did anyone get saved or did you lead anyone to the Lord? Well, yeah, we lead hundreds, thousands of people when we go out there. Now, what you
Amen.
Mean, did you have any results? You mean win friends and influence people. Now, we get results all the time when we go out there. We see the Holy Ghost working and getting results and reproving them of their sin and the judgment and the righteousness of God. That's the results that we're supposed to go out there and that you will see. You see those results when Stephen started preaching. The Holy Ghost was working on them. Stephen got his brains rocked out. I mean, Jesus stood up for Stephen. I mean, you see with Paul. I mean, you see the Holy Ghost working. But how will they hear without a preacher? You know, they're not supposed to be talking. Why are you preaching the law to save people in your four walls? The Holy Ghost was given to men to go out there, and women, the Holy Ghost. But when men go out there, that's the whole reason why you have the Holy Ghost, so you can be filled with power and speak and prophesy the truth of the Scriptures. Outside of that, you know, what else do you, are you saved and you have the Holy Ghost, so you can sit in your four walls and you can sing Kumbaya and invite all the whole zoo in so you can create twofold children of hell, like that Tony, that guy Tony I know, and thousands of other people that profess to be Christians, but, you know, they're no more Christians than, you know, than the man on the moon. So without the preaching of the gospel in the open air, people are just going to, they're just going to become stagnant. Next thing you know, you're going to have a bunch of sodomites, you know, and the sodomites, as we know, are the, you know, the what led to the sins of Sodom. You know, Ezekiel 16:49, you preach a sermon on that, you know, but when you don't have open air preaching like that, everything just becomes stagnant and it becomes religious. You get a whole
well, that's what
city
you have
full.
Now. Right, we've got our churches today now, and what it is basically all the church is doing is bringing people into their four walls of the meeting house, bringing them in and trying to evangelize them that way, and it doesn't work. All you do is make the church dirty. You need to take the church and go out into the highways and byways and preach the gospel and call men to repentance and stand and loudly proclaim the name of Christ in the open air.
Yeah, it's just rewrapped Catholicism. That's all most Baptist churches. They got their Baptist popes and whatever denomination. It's just rewrapped Catholicism. You're doing the same thing that Rome did for, you know, for centuries, you know, inviting lost people in, and you can only get Jesus if you come through us. And, you know, it's the same wickedness of religion that's been around for, you know, 2,000 years, you know, longer plus than that, you know. So, it's powerful going out there, and I exhort the people, you know, at our fellowship all the time, because not everyone goes out. I can't figure it out, but I exhort them. I say, the Bible comes alive. You know, they might think I'm being, you know, boastful or prideful, but I know. And just like yourself, you said the first time you go out, after you go out there, it's like, I mean, you talk about it's like God opens up a window, like he showed John, you know, when he showed John in Revelation, you know, things. When you go out preaching, it's like God opens your eyes, and now you don't think what tumults are, or when someone, you know, curses you out, or you have elements of sorcerer, you know, you see demonic things happening, all because why? Because you're lifting up the name of Jesus, and at the, you know, when you lift up that name, you know, goes throughout the universe, but even a lot of people don't even understand, as Brother Ickes has, you know, brought it out, but in Ephesians 3:10 there, when you go out there, if you're standing in a corner and there's no one there listening, you're preaching to the principalities and powers of, and rulers
Amen.
Of this earth, because they're trying to find the manifold wisdom of God that's been hid from the you know, foundation of the world, and it's supposed to be manifested in the church. And when you're sitting there preaching, believe me, Satan knows what's going on. He sees that he's, you're being a faithful soldier of the Lord. So it's a,
hey,
I mean, it's a blessing.
Hang on. Brother Eric, hang on 1 second here. We got to go to a break here. We got a song coming up, John Was a Baptist. You hang on through the break if you can, Brother Eric, and we'll be right back in just a few minutes.
Baptist, and I am a Baptist too. John and to baptize one by one.
John was a Baptist and I am a Baptist too.
Lost at Pentecost, and I want to reach all the lost.
Peter was a preacher, and I am a preacher too.
Preachers here, some evangelists, some biblical evangelists that go out and preach the gospel in the open air and wherever they can to call men to repentance and bring them to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've talked to Brother Eric and we've talked to Brother, let's see, who else? So we talked to Brother George tonight and had a blessed talk with him as well. And now we're going to talk to Brother Sean Bishop. Hang on, Brother Eric. Don't go anywhere. You stay online, too. Brother Bishop, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
I am blessed. Thank you for inviting me on.
Amen. Well, I'm glad you're here. Tell us a little bit about how long you've been preaching on the streets.
Well, it's an interesting story. First of all, as a saved man, I've been publicly proclaiming the gospel for 6 years, but when I was unsaved, I actually hung out with men who were street preachers, held signs, and wore the, I was out there, and just as an unbeliever, God-hating, and just did it to go with the flow, and then God grabbed my heart, because I was prior in my life, I was an alcoholic, a drug addict, and led me in all kinds of slavish sins, but you know how the power of the grace of God, how he regenerates our hearts when we repent and we put our faith in him, and started in prison ministry, and I did that for a year and a half, and I got out, and that's when I really began public preaching for around 6.5 to 7 years, around there.
Amen. Well, brother, see your need to do that? I mean, what did the Lord show you as opposed to door-to-door evangelism or door-to-door, you know, witnessing, they call it. Soul winning is what they call it. Now, I'm not against witnessing to people, obviously. We should do that. But preaching of the gospel is what God has commanded. How did you see the difference between those two methods, so to speak?
Oh, simple. Well, first of all, I've knocked on many doors in my time past, but the difference between door-to-door evangelism and open-air preaching is a matter of a biblical position. The door-to-door evangelism, first of all, it is basing the lost to invite them to come to church. You know, you can't be full frontal, with the gospel in a sense to every door. Most of the doors will slam in your face. Where I'm from, the North, there's not a lot of hospitality. You luckily, when you find a door that's open, you can share the gospel, hopefully. But the majority of the time, people are more showing them to come to their church. And it's not a biblical method. First of all, public preaching is the biblical command that is God has instituted those who follow him, those who are called by God to preach. And that is the method I use. It is a biblical conviction. It is guided by the Holy Spirit. And it is the absolute flesh that says don't do it. It's an absolute flesh and carnal thing to go contrary to that. And you begin to state today about, these feminist men who are lacking boldness and lacking the leadership in their position. And that's the honest truth. It is absolute another spirit that is guiding these men to be cowards. And I don't know about you, according to the Bible that I read, that cowards, those who are fearless, go to hell. Because the very operation of the Holy Spirit gives you utterance and boldness and integrity in wanting to live zealously for him. And that was the very position of what God did on the cross, not for the basis of giving you eternal life, that's the privilege, but to make you a whole new creature, to be zealous for him, to be his workmanship. And that's where our passion comes from. People don't understand us because there's very few Christians that are saved. And the majority of people who confront us and say, no, it's unbiblical, my conclusion is the majority of them are unsaved because they're following another Jesus created in their own likeness. But they're not submitting to the authority of Scripture. And I don't know about you, but that sure bothers me. It breaks my heart.
Brother. I understand what you're saying, too, about that, because our churches are, you know, it reminds me of the time back in America when George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards came on the scene, and it was the Great Awakening, and the churches were all under what was called a halfway covenant. I mean, they were just, the kids were just basically grandfather clause into the church and automatically pronounced saved. And the most revolutionary thing, now isn't this crazy, but the most revolutionary thing ever was Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield coming out and saying you must be born again and preaching the Bible. It was absolutely revolutionary for the time, and it caused a revival. God used it to cause an awakening to take place throughout the country. And it was an amazing time, but people had gotten so soft that those men were not even welcome in the churches, in the meeting houses. They had to go preach in the open air, in the fields, and everywhere they could, because they weren't welcome in the meeting houses.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely.
And I think we're coming to a time of that right now where a lot of people, they don't like strong. There are pockets of people in America that like strong Bible preaching, that are saved, that are looking for it. But there are so many out there in churches that are sleeping, and pastors are sleeping, and it's sad.
Yeah, let me address that. It's the street preachers who are the frontline Christians. We are the ones that are fighting for our rights, for freedom of speech, being arrested, being persecuted by cops, fighting for our laws. You know, it's amazing. I shouldn't have to go all the way down south to go to jail or be arrested. It should be each town should have a church that fights their own laws. I shouldn't be fighting your own laws. So
right.
It's amazing that street preachers, wherever we go, we're either arrested, we're either persecuted greatly, because the majority of these churches that are locally are not doing their local job as an evangelist, to evangelize the city, to evangelize the town. So we street preachers are reaching out where these people are neglecting serving where God has commanded them to preach and to proclaim, to herald. And that is love. Let me tell you something, that is the very essence of love, what love is all about. You know, people need to understand there's different an order, you know, for those who don't accept Jesus Christ, we don't give them the gospel. In essence, we give them the law. The God resisteth the proud, but he only gives grace to the humble. And that's just the way that God presents it. So to a lot of people, we are God. They don't understand. They truly don't understand. And first of all, it's because they cannot understand, because they're a natural man. And the only way that they can be saved is through the operation of God working repentance and faith in the individual. And I'll tell you this, it's a lack of, when we lack standing firm as a Christian soldier, standing firm in the gap, standing firm where we need to be, what happens is we're neglecting our biblical responsibilities. And when we neglect our biblical responsibilities, that's how you have tolerance of sin. That's how you have the feminist movement growing and the homosexual movement growing, because people are neglecting their God-given responsibility. And when you neglect it, that's where we are in America today. It's because men of God and women of God have forgotten their responsibility, because they have been deceived by false teachers, and they're ignorant of Scripture because they have no heart to live for God. And I tell you this, how can you have no heart to live for God if God planted his Spirit in you and made a new creation? Did God make like a half-hearted creation? Or no, I believe when God renews a person, he puts a right spirit in you. I believe he gives you a power in you, that you have a boldness as a lion to confront sin, because we straight preachers are very confrontational. We do confront sin. We do not cower down, but we love people. Jude says some save by compassion, but others save by fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You know what I mean? We hate sin. But we're out there, and we say what we say is because of the very essence of love. And when I'll tell you this, I think the any ingredient that any public preacher needs to go out there, I believe a lot of them are neglecting prayer. You go out
Amen,
there,
brother.
And you need to be broken for the lost. You need to be utterly, seeing these people are on their way to hell. And we got to be moved by that. That should move. That moves me. It should move any Bible-believing Christian. But it doesn't move people. It doesn't seem like it moves people. Because if you know there's people on their way to hell, how passionate, how zealous will you be to be about the saving of souls, about the Father's will, and about the Great Commission, to go out there and preach? And back
Amen,
not
brother.
Down for the sake of false love and false unity and false peace. No, Jesus Christ said, I did not come to bring peace but division, because he knew the truth would bring division. It's not my goal is to bring the gospel that only can bring true, genuine, eternal, lasting peace. And that's what it is. We go out there, we should be humbled, absolutely
Amen.
Meek. We should be harmless as a dove, full of prayer, weeping. We should be weeping men and women of God. We should be weeping men as preachers going out there and proclaiming. I mean, I'll tell you this. We have too many Christians that are dry eyes. You can be great in knowledge, but weak in spirit. And I tell
Amen.
You, that is a big problem, and it bothers me. And it really bothers me, because I see so many men are neglecting passion And that's the issue. They're not zealous. These people are not zealous for God when they don't go out there and be about the will of God. They're zealous in self-righteousness. They're zealous to establish their own righteousness. They're wanting their own way. They're wanting a false sense of love and unity. They want a false piece of tolerance that tolerates sin. It's almost like you're adapting to what Rob Bell's example of what it means to be a Christian. But in reality, he's a false heretic that is leading many people to hell. And many people who are Christians have that kind of spirit as Rob Bell. I mean, they attack the truth. They condemn the truth. And they justify wickedness.
Brother Sean, let me ask you this. Where do you primarily, when you go out preaching, where do you go usually?
Well, where I like to go is where I'm from, North Andover, Mass. And so where I go is my church is located in Salem, Massachusetts, where you have the witch trials and so forth and so on.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, that's where I usually preach, where I go to Boston Commons, and I preach down there. And those are my main areas, or a town in Lawrence where I go to, and I proclaim the love of Jesus Christ.
What are some of the things, Brother Sean, that you've faced out there and street preaching? What are some of the things that you've ran into out there? Some of your stories of things that have happened.
Oh man, I tell you this. Oof. Oh, I've been punched. I've been pushed. I've been threatened with knives. I've been people have stolen my stuff. You have been arrested. You have so much persecution, God-hating, spit on, and just a verbal hatred, an absolute persecution in America. In America, there's a great need. We have so many false churches, and so there's an absolute great need. But there's a such power in proclaiming the Jesus Christ to the lost, because I'll tell you this, there's never been one time through persecution, it was never a good time. It was always a great time of God moving upon the hearts. And I tell you this, what happens is when you share this truth, people are going to start getting angry. People are going to start reviling and going against the truth. And that's why Jesus Christ died on the cross, because he went against the flow of lies. He went, but he shared the truth, and the truth brought such anger in people. And all the apostles you find, except for really for John, all dying martyrs, some death, because what they said was absolutely offensive to the point that they died.
Amen.
And what we say is, we're not, our goal is not to be offensive. I can't even address that. It's I weep for these people. And I desire them to come to Jesus Christ. But I share
Amen.
The truth, and I hate sin. And I want people to know that, listen, there's a way that you can escape. Listen, to flee from the wrath of God, to flee from the wrath of what is to come. And if you die in the state of unbelief, in the state of willful sin against God and rejection, I can't even begin to describe the horror of what awaits them.
Amen. That's right.
We go out there and preach a scandalous truth, an offensive truth, a bad news to those who reject the truth. And very few will receive it. And I'll tell you this, a lot of people don't want to go out there. It's because it doesn't fill their pews. You know what I mean? It's about filling your pews, and it doesn't look pretty when we're out there. No, we look quite, we're not that eloquent when we're out there, I'll tell you that. I know that
eloquent. Brother Sean, it's interesting because Spurgeon said something about that. He said, if you get out there and try to wax eloquently, I was reading some quotes last night. He said, if you try to do that, he said, they're going to laugh you out of there. He said, you've got to be intense from start to finish, is what he said.
Exactly.
When you're preaching on the street, you're not giving them a complete discourse. Hang on one second, Brother Sean. Can you stay on line for a minute? Okay, Brother Eric, are you there still? Did we lose Brother Eric? Hello. You there, Brother Eric? He's gone fishing. I don't know what happened. Is Brother Tino there? Brother Tino, are you there? Okay, I can't hear anybody now. Brother Sean, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here, brother.
All right, well, you're still here. So we'll continue on with you, and we'll see what's going on, why we can't get those other guys on there. But we'll keep going here with you. Brother, let me ask you some other questions here. Now, have you, when you've been out there, when you've been out there preaching, I seen an article with you. What was this, about a month or two ago? What was that article about that was in the newspaper that was posted on Facebook about something that that you were facing out there and preaching, and was it a witch or something that had, what was that all about? Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, I had a news reporter call me up, there was a church and gathering. We're usually down there every Halloween. And there's a kind of a church that believes in Jesus Christ, charismatic though, but has false unity. So they like to have fellowship with witches and so forth and so on. But they hate
Wow.
street preachers. They hate street preachers. So whenever we're out there, they usually try to do everything they can to quiet us up and to shut us down, and or by calling the cops all the time. I mean, every day that I'm out there, I at least get three times a day a cop is coming up to me and says they got a complaint or something like that. And it was really about that these witches are uniting with the gathering church, this pastor, Phil Wyman, and to go against public preaching and go against our method of love and a biblical method of evangelism, because what we say is out there is hate speech, I guess, and to them. And it was really... Are you there?
I'm here. I don't know what happened.
Okay, and it was just really about how we are out there because we love people, and we got a lot of flack from that news article, and people hate our church. I mean, people would come to our church and try to look like they tried to break in once, and they will leave their witches, because Salem has highly populated in witches and warlocks, or whatever word you want to call them. They will come leave their ashes and incense and trying to curse us and so forth and so on. We'll have emails, multitude of emails of how much these witches hate us, and they're trying to go to court to shut street preaching down. They're trying to, but they won't. But they're doing everything they can to quiet us up. But the thing is, the last thing is we're going to do is back down. And the problem is, if we did back down, then the city would be, that's what happens. If we back down, that's how we would eventually have no more open air preaching.
Amen. So these witches, so what the article was about was you were standing out there and you're basically saying, hey, all we're doing is trying to share the gospel and preach the truth and call men to repentance. That's what we're doing here. Is that kind of what was going on with that?
Yeah, pretty much. That was the basic, basically. It was just about them heckling us and them just hating us and making false accusations against us and saying, you know, we're hating people and so forth, and we just hate sin and love truth, and we love people.
Amen,
out there.
Brother.
So,
well, I'm glad you handled that. I'm glad you handled that the right way, and kept your testimony there, and really was a blessing to those that were around you, and they were able to hear the truth. The devil's at work, brother. He's got his evangelists out there everywhere.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Yep. it's unbelievable when you see it. But they're out there working, and you know, it's amazing to me that a charismatic church. Well, it's not amazing, because if you understand charismatic, mixing with the witch's cove, it makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah, it's crazy, because we'll have people down there that are charismatics. They'll hold up their charismatic signs, and there'll be no joke, be speaking in tongues.
Hang on one second, brother. Ivan from Detroit, Michigan, has a question. We have a few minutes here. Ivan, why don't you put him through, Lonnie, and he can ask his question.
Can you hear me, guys? I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Great. Hey, thanks, guys. I like talking about this stuff. I love open-air preaching, and it's a great thing. I have a question for you guys about making disciples, because we know that making disciples is part of the Great Commission. So how does the open-air preacher do this if they go to a place as far away from their local church to preach? Should they send them back, come far back to where my church is? Should they find a local place to send them to? What do you guys think?
Well, first of all, you know, preaching the gospel is one part of the Great Commission. It's one part of, you know, it's one part of what we do. When you have somebody that says, "Hey, listen, when you have a convert there, or somebody there they're saved, or they're getting saved, or they want a church to point them to, then that's exactly what we need to be prepared to do, is to point them to a good Bible preaching church in their area that they can grow in. If they're too far away from us that we can't disciple them, that's exactly what I believe we should do, is point them in the right direction. And I actually like to contact somebody, you know, contact the pastor and say, "Hey, follow up with this guy," or something like that, you know, if that's possible. Brother Sean, what do you think? You go ahead. You there, Brother Sean?
Okay, preach. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, so when we go out there and preach, I mean, first of all, that's the beginning, right? If you get saved, that's the beginning of your discipleship right there. You know, it doesn't mean, oh, you just get saved and 5 years later you become a disciple. No, the beginning is follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So I think the beginning is when we go out there and preach, is we preach nothing but Christ crucified. And if they get saved, they become the beginning of a student. They should be a follower of Jesus Christ. And then I believe they should have a heart to want to learn and have a heart to want to be trained and discipled. And that's the very position of a church, you know, that a shepherd can be involved in that life, that person individually, and grow him and train him in the way that he should go, and mold him and give him the spiritual tools that he needs, and that disciple will constantly follow, just like we would follow Jesus, or how we follow truth. And so I would say public preaching, what we do is, when one gets saved, it's the very position of a new disciple.
Amen. And that's, Ivan, I hope that, does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think it does. I think that's a different perspective than I was thinking about it. I see, you know, discipling and proclaiming to be things that can't be separated. And
sure.
I was just wondering how other people approach it.
Well, see, here's the thing. Not, you know, there's two different things there that happen. I mean, when you're preaching the gospel and you're you know, you're out there calling men to repentance, we don't know unless, you know, we make that contact with them and they come up. Like, for instance, probably about a month ago, we had a young man come up to us and he said, "You know, I've been away from God for a long time and I need to get right, and I am saved, but I haven't been living for God." And, you know, we gave him our information and we took down his phone number. One of our men called him back and tried to develop a relationship with him, but this man wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't continue it. But, you know, he still tried and he still kept up. And that's just what I think you have to do when you make that personal contact. But a lot of open-air preaching isn't really about that exact personal contact that you're going to make. It's about planting seeds, you know, and some of them, it's going to be the right time, but it's God that giveth the increase. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Hey, I agree with you. Hey, you guys feel like another question then?
Well, hang on, through the break here. We'll pick up after the break here. Hang on, Ivan, all the way through the break here if you can. And "The Veil Is Gone" is the song, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
veil stood in the span between a holy God and man. Just one high priest, a mediator, once a year on a special day, blood for sin he had to pay. This man wasn't getting any better. But one day God looked down just outside of town on Calvary's rugged hill. His son was dying, and as the earth began to quake, the Temple Mount began to shake. A priest ran from the temple and he was crying, "The veil is gone, the veil is gone. Since he died and rose again and he took away our sin, the veil is gone, the veil is gone. We have access to the throne, the veil is gone." Now we're down upon our knees, sending up our pleas. Jesus Christ is now our mediator, and we can come here every day, and all we have to do is pray. The priest that we have now is even greater. But one day not far away, we'll no longer have to pray. In heaven face to face, in all his splendor, we look upon the one who died, his hands, his feet, his riven side, and throughout the endless ages we'll remember that the veil is gone. Died and rose again, and he took away our sin. The veil is gone, the veil is gone. We have access to the throne, the veil is gone. We have access to the throne, the veil is gone.
All right, we're back on the Old Paths broadcast, and Brother Eric, I want you to come on here and kind of finish up answering that question that Ivan had, and let's have you do that here. Go ahead, Brother Eric, you there?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay, you go ahead.
Yeah. You there, Ivan?
Yes, sir.
Hello. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, as I've been taught, and as I've gone out there, and with your question. You know, our desire is that, you know, when we're out there preaching, we're calling men to repentance, you know, repentance towards God and faith towards Lord Jesus Christ. But, you know, the truth be told, you know, in the society we live in, just we've had less and less of any kind of real biblical preaching on the street. We really don't see, we see the ground being plowed up, you know, and we see the seed being planted in a lot of places, but we don't very seldom see someone come to repentance right there. We're leading many thousands of people to Christ, but if we do have someone come to repentance, most of the time it's a one-on-one evangelism that's happening while the preacher is up on the podium is still preaching. So there's a difference in those two things right there. We're not out there to go soul winning like door to door. Most of the time you have people, when they say evangelism, they're going door to door. We're out there to preach the gospel in the open air, and then we have the other preachers around that will do the one-on-one. evangelism, and if someone does come to repentance and and get saved there, we will direct them, like Cooley said there, to a pastor or, on Facebook, with Facebook now or and email, we're able to do a lot of things like that. But our main objective to go out there is to preach the gospel to the masses and to break up the fallow ground and to let the plant the seed and then let God, God grant the increase. But we definitely should go out there because we're out there teaching men. Jesus said to go in the world and teach and preach. But we're teaching men that they're sinners, and we're teaching them how they can be saved through that. But then we also need to make sure they do get discipled, because we know what happens to that seed, that the cares of this world can come and choke it out if it's not nurtured and cared for. So, but yeah, if you're in the Detroit area, we can get connected with you, and maybe sometime, you could possibly come out with us if it's something to be interested in. Or meet up with you and talk more about it in person.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Yeah, because I was kind of asking that question, thinking about what do you put on your tracks when you go out there? Do you put your church, or do you put a local church nearby where you're preaching? That kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it all depends. We, the pastors at our church, they have different tracks, and we make tracks of all different sorts, Sometimes we'll put our information on the back there, but we just have a basic generic track. And when we go up there, that's one of the things, well, what church, what are you guys from? And, we really don't, tell them we're ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. And, if they really press us, we'll tell them, because most of the time people are trying to put you in a box so they can automatically, categorize you and kind of dismiss you, without even listening to what you're saying. So, but yeah, if people really want to know, they'll get connected with us. But most of the time, they're just, looking for an excuse just to try to, push you away. But yeah, we really don't put too much on that. Jason might do something different because he preaches right there in his town, and we preach in Monroe, but we're our local churches. But a lot of times, we're in the vicinity, from Indianapolis down to, we'll be going to Cleveland this weekend. We're in Ann Arbor, 30 to 150, 200 miles away. So it just varies, with where we're preaching at.
Amen. All right, Ivan, I hope that answered your question. We got to let you go now because I got to keep moving on here. But did that answer your question for you?
It did. Thanks, guys.
Okay, great. You have a good night, Ivan. Thanks for calling.
See you.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, listen, I think, Brother Tino, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, finally. I can't hear you. Brother Tino, you need to drink a Coke or something, your favorite Coca-Cola there, because I can't hear you. You got to get a little louder there.
I got one here.
Crack that open, brother.
Okay.
All right. I like giving Brother Tino a very hard time on Facebook, and he doesn't have a problem giving it back either. But
what?
He's a good friend, though, and Brother Tino wants to talk about a little bit about street preaching and some of his experience that he's had. You go right ahead, brother.
Well, the kind of segue on what Eric was saying a minute ago, people are looking always for results. They want to know, how many people got saved when you're out street preaching. And they've already covered some of that, that's not the immediate goal anyway, and we're in this instant society where if you don't get instant numbers that you can report, people think you're not doing what you're supposed to do. But I know Brent Riggs, a friend of mine who's a missionary. Right now he's in Poland, and he's started 4 churches in Poland. He was a missionary for 10 or 15 years in Mexico, started 10 or 12 churches there. As far as I know, they're still all going, 100% by street preaching. Yet in all those years, he's been a missionary for 25 years or so, maybe 30, he's never had anybody get saved while he was street preaching. But
wow.
Yet he's been able to build, 15 churches on street preaching, because that's what gets people interested. Eric talked about that's what people will stop and talk to other people while the guy's preaching, and that's when they, when they come to repentance, when they get saved. Or they'll be interested, and they'll make contacts, and they'll meet the people later, or the people will want to know what's going on. So they'll wander in the church on a Sunday and want to see what's going on there, because they saw that not all street preaching, And so he's been able to build 15 churches. churches on street preaching without anybody getting saved on the spot. So I think that kind of answers the question about, well, how come you don't get any results? Because there are results. They're just not instant.
Amen. And America is a place that is completely saturated with, you know, a mixture of false gospels and the true gospel. And, you know, people go just anywhere the wind takes them here, because we're just a bunch of spoiled religious brats in America when it comes to that. And you go to other countries, and it's very precious for them to be able to find a place, you know, after they get saved and after they hear the gospel preached. Man, they want to know more.
And then I guess the common theme I've heard all night from everybody that talked, and then you know that from your experience, when you go out on the streets, the first guy that's out there is the devil. I mean, every time you go out, some wild, weird, crazy thing happens, and I'm convinced that the devil's out there just waiting for us. He wants to play.
Amen, brother. That's absolutely right. That is what happens when the preachers come out, the devils come out, you know, and you see it. I mean, man, video after video, you can see it. I remember Brother George was talking. Man, the funniest thing ever, Brother George, I watched a video of him when that guy told it, when some black guy told him he was God. Man, I'm telling you, I about split my side open laughing when Brother George was dealing with this guy, because this guy kept telling him he was God.
Yep, I saw that.
Oh, that was funny, man. That was too much. But, you know, it just deluded religious people out there. But I appreciate the call, Brother Tito. Is that it, or did you have more to add, or did you want to say something else?
I got a little more.
Go ahead.
I think one thing we didn't cover a whole lot is the effect that it has on the preacher. And, boy, if you're out street preaching, you'll experience things that you'll never get in the four walls of a church. And you'll be challenged, you'll be humbled, you'll even be embarrassed. It'll force you to study things so you don't get embarrassed next time. And you'll get to meet up with a lot of people, find out what people are thinking, what people actually believe, what's really out there. If you're just in the church, you're insulated from all that stuff, and you're ignorant of a lot of that stuff. But when you're out on the street, you get to experience what's really going on out there, and what really people's objections are, what their questions are, what their hurdles are. And it forces you to study. It sends you back to the Bible so you have the answers for all the weird things you're going to run into.
Amen, brother. That is true, because people ask you questions that you're not going to hear from anybody else, and you're put on the spot, and man, you're humbled too, because they're making fun of you, they're calling you names, they're doing all kinds of things that you're just not used to having done to you. You know, in the church house, if something like that happened, they'd be churched for it. Members would be, if they talked to each other that way, you know, and cursed at each other or called each other names or did anything like that. They'd be in trouble for that. But in the world, we have to expect that. Amen. All right, brother, is there anything else? Because I got Brother Randy that's going to come on here in a second if that's all you had here for us tonight.
All right, I guess anything else I got, I'll save for next time.
Sounds good, brother. Come back, again, and we appreciate everything that you added to it too, as well. Randy, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, is that Brother Randy?
Yes, sir. Randy Arninger. How you doing, my brother?
Good. Good to talk to you, brother. I talked to you a lot on Facebook and through message and everything like that, and I appreciate your ministry and everything. You had an acronym for us tonight. You're good at those, brother. I'm not that creative, and I appreciate somebody that is. But you go ahead and share what the Lord's laid on your heart to share with us.
Well, praise the Lord, brother. I did want to share a quick acronym. The acronym is STREETS, STREETS. I know you're impressed. I went to the public sewer system, and I can't spell still somehow. But STREETS, and a lot of what you shared, brother Sean and Eric and Tino, kind of hit upon these, and I like to share this with people, especially new evangelicals that come up to us when we're out on the streets and try to oppose us, and I'm not saying it won't fail tomorrow, but so far I'm batting 1,000 by the time I get to this, and I'll give you the real quick version of it, but I'll take them through 20 minutes of it, but here's the real quick condensed one. But so far I'm batting 1,000 that by the time it's done, they either want to join us and hold a sign, or they're convicted, and the Lord will speak to them, so I recommend you guys to use it if you want, but it goes like this. I'll give you the quick rundown. Streets. So the S is seeds sown. The T is trumpets blown. The R is results shown and unknown. I'm sorry. Results are known and unknown. I should kind of change it up every time, going by memory. Sometimes I'll say results shown and unknown, or results both known and unknown. E, evangelism net thrown. The next E is enemy zone builds backbone. And then the T, treasures in heaven grown, like they're growing. And then the final S, salvation in the Savior known. And what I tell them, you know, the seed sown, of course, we know Isaiah 55, God said his word will not return to him void. You know, Jesus taught the word of God as a seed, and, you know, Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. And we say, hey, we're sowing seeds. You know, a good farmer doesn't throw a couple little seeds. They throw a bunch of seeds out, you know. The T, trumpets blown, you know, it's Isaiah 58:1 says to cry aloud and spare not and lift up thy voice like a trumpet.
Amen.
And so we're out there blowing the trumpet. The R, results are known and unknown. And you always get results, like the brethren have been saying. We're convinced every time you go out and hit the streets, we've been doing it for decades, but hard and heavy for about 7 years with, you know, banners and bullhorns and whatnot. But every time you go there, I'm convinced that God shows up every time, and the devil shows up every time, both times.
Mm-hmm.
Both show up every time. And so results are known and unknown. Sometimes you'll see some immediate results, people under conviction, and sometimes you'll hear about it later. Sometimes you won't know. We won't know until we get to the other side. The E, evangelism net thrown. One-on-one witnessing is like throwing out a hook, you know. But when you're open air preaching, you're throwing that net wide. They call that broadcasting. You're casting that net broad.
Amen.
So evangelism net is thrown. The next E, enemy zone builds backbone. Brother Tino was hitting upon a lot of that. There are things that there's an effect upon that preacher that you don't get in the church house, you know.
Amen.
And it builds the backbone. It makes you study, like he was saying. It makes you ready. It makes you stronger. It makes a soldier out of you.
Amen.
That's how the old-time military used to make some soldiers. They persecuted them, is what they say. Now, I wasn't in the military, but... and then that T, treasures in heaven grown, they're growing. And so it's cha-ching. Every time you're out there, man, you're laying up treasures in heaven, and you're doing the right thing. It's good.
Amen.
And then that final S, which is our ultimate and overarching goal, salvation and the Savior known. And that's our ultimate goal, that he alone can atone, is what we tell folks. And so
Amen.
You get out there and let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and you make the Lord known. Well, when the new evangelicals, when they hit you with you're not doing it the right way, and, you know, it's the wrong methodology and all that kind of stuff, I like to just take them through a little mini-sermon if we have somebody else still preaching. Now, I don't let them interfere our preaching, but I'll take them through that street tech, and then I'm batting 1,000, brethren. By the time you're done, and I'll give them a longer version I just gave you, but by the time you're done, they generally just say, you know what, more power to you, or kind of, I'm glad I stopped and talked to you, and you guys have a good heart, or whatever. And so you can usually turn them around, and the reason I say this, a good watchman upon the wall warns not just the righteous, but the wicked. And we've got to get out there, and let's face it, you're not just winning the souls of the unsaved, you kind of convincing or persuading some of the saved out there and some of the new evangelicals or whatever that have just haven't been taught right.
Amen, brother. There's a lot of those scattered sheep out there that don't know what they're doing. They don't know which way they're supposed to go. They're unchurched and they have no clue what's going on. And to go out there and preach boldly the word of God, when we do that, we're setting things straight for them too as well. We're helping them to understand, hey, listen, you got to get back on track for the Lord, and you got to follow that narrow way.
Amen.
So I appreciate that, brother. I do. I appreciate you sharing that with us. There's not enough time and even a couple shows to really talk about this in depth like it needs to be or continue to, because, you know, there's so much going on out there right now and so many different types of places that you and I can preach the gospel at and stand out there and preach in the open air. you know, there's so many different avenues and venues that, to go to and everything else. It's so multifaceted that we just have to be about our Father's business and learn by example of others and also by trial and error. You know, that's really part of it.
Amen.
So I appreciate you, Brother Randy. I appreciate you calling in. I've got somebody else, so I got to let you go, brother. But thank you for calling, brother. Is Brother Wally there? All right, Brother Wally, are you there? All right, I'm not hearing anybody. Is anybody there with me now? Not hearing anybody, so I'll keep going here because I'm not sure what's going on here. But sounds like something might be locked up or something here. I'm not sure. But anyway, I'm not hearing you, brother, if you are. Well, anyway, I appreciate everybody that has called in tonight. What a blessing it's been to really be able to discuss these things and to talk about biblical evangelism and what the Lord is doing with that on the streets and in the lives of the people of God. And we need to understand the vital importance of getting out there and preaching in the open air. It's been neglected far too long. We have far too many professional pastors. Now, some just don't know. Some don't understand their duty. And you know, it's when you grow up in a system of like fundamentalism or anything else, some of these things are hidden from you in the sense they're in plain sight, but they're actually hidden from you because you don't really see them. You know, and that's unfortunate. Until you break out of that bubble and kind of see something else, you know, what's out there, the truth of it out there, and the scriptures are opened up to you on that and give that understanding that we ought to be out in the, you know, out in the highways and the byways and out there in front of the parks and in front of the town square and, you know, and in front of the parade and wherever, on the side of the road there, preaching the gospel and preaching the Bible. Sometimes you might just preach the law for a long time. God might have you preach something or read scripture. Stand up there and read, you know, in the open air, read a whole book of the Bible or something. I don't know. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to say that that's the only way that God won't lead you to do that. You know, reading scripture in the open air is not preaching, obviously. It's reading scripture, but it's important to do that sometimes too as well. So, but preaching is what God's called us to do. And if you call yourself a preacher, then you ought to get in the open air. If you're a pastor out there and you hear this broadcast and you say, you know, I've never done that before, but I need to, it makes sense, I want some help, you contact us through email or give me a call or whatever. You can contact us, contact me through Pastor Cooley at yahoo.com or at salvationpreacher@gmail.com. You can look me up on Facebook. My Facebook page is just under Pastor Cooley or Jason Cooley is what it's under. You know, you can find me there. You can go to oldpastbaptistchurch.org. And you can check that out and contact us through there. Or you can go to my sermon audio page and contact me through sermon audio. And we have a link on there for us that you can find us. And if you want to learn how to do this or if you want to get out there and do it and do what the Lord has called you to do, and that's get out there and preach and lead some men out there to get out there on the streets, it's important. We got to get back to that. We got to get back to our understanding what our dire need of the hour in this nation is to preach the gospel and in the open air and to preach the Bible in the open air. And who cares what people think of you? They're not going to like the way you're dressed, the way you walk, the way you talk. They're not going to like it, you know, but that doesn't change the fact that God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. And that doesn't change the fact that he's commanded us to go out and preach the gospel. Eric, are you there still, brother?
Eric, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay, yeah, I've been here. Right after Randy, I was saying amen. I don't know if you can hear me, but anyways, I think there's probably some technical problems.
Yeah. You go ahead, brother. We're going to close out. We got about 4 minutes left, and just any closing remarks that you have or anything like that the Lord lays on your heart.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and even, you know, even not so much the lost, you know, preaching to the lost, but You know, but just even these big old corporations, I mean, you can go outside some of these, I call them corporations, the seeker-friendly churches, you know, because you're not gonna please God by growing a church of 5,000 people like that young pastor of 36 that just committed suicide here yesterday or today. But those are places there you can go out front of there because you're going to be most likely preaching to a church of, you know, it's 5,000 people. You're going to be most likely preaching to a good 4,800, 4,700 people that are truly, you know, lost probably. Maybe, you know, I mean, that number's a little high, but nonetheless, you can go anywhere. And we've been out there, Brother DJ and I, just in our own city, we just stood out there just holding scripture signs, not saying one word, just standing there, just fellowshipping. We have people, you know, saying amen. We have next thing, hail Satan, and blank of you, blank. We didn't even have to say anything, but it's the power of God's words because the power, Jesus says, you know, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. The word of God shall not return void unto himself. So there's no excuse, you know, to why we can't just go out there, even if you have a sign, if it's cool, you can stand there. People can read. I mean, they spend billions of dollars to spend, you know, advertising. Now they got the flashing boards and everything. You can get a sign, a small white sign or, you know, a sign that has scripture verse, and stand in a corner, even if you don't even say nothing, just stand in a corner. God's word won't return void on himself. God will have you in the right place, but we just have to be faithful to the call of going out there because, I mean, it's just more and more. You're seeing, you know, Hindus want to put up their statues now, and now some Satanist wants to put up their statues. I say praise, glory to God. And like Brother Ickes said, he said, you know, he says people are complaining about, you know, taking the Ten Commandments down. Well, why aren't you preaching on those steps and preaching the law and the Ten Commandments to keep people guilty? Forget some dumb, you know, statue of you know, granite. You have a God gave you a voice to go out there and preach that, you know, preach the law and keep, you know, under the law. Because we know the law is a schoolmaster. So opportunity is great as this nation, as we see this nation continually spiraling down just into the pits of hell. It's just being, you know, it just, you know, as we see the spirit of Antichrist is rising more and more.
Hey, man, we're out of time, Brother Eric. We're out of time, man. It's been a good show. I appreciate Brother Randy and Brother Tino, Brother Eric, and Brother Lonnie managing everything for us there, and all the other folks that called in here. Brother Sean, blessing to have all of you, but we're out of time now. We'll be back next week, and what a blessing it is to preach in the open air. Get out there, man, and preach the gospel in the open air.
Stacked in stones for all to see. Stacked in stones one on another. Stacked.